It says Daf is Daf Yud Gimel. So we got around 8 lines down. The Gemara says Tanya, the first word on the line. The Gemara is continuing to go through very deep topics of Kabbalah, it seems. So the Gemara says Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Matshuva Heshivasu Baskol Leosu Rasha. What was the response to the Baskol that came from Shemaim, who was answering to the Rasha, referring to Nebuchadnezzar? Bisho Shamar, the moment that Nebuchadnezzar said, he said to himself, Ela al b'masei av edema el elyon. He wanted to ascend up to Shemaim. He wanted to be compared somehow, medame himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what was the response in Shemaim? Yatze baskel v'amr la. His baskel came out and said, Rasha ben Rasha ben Benosha Nimrod Rasha, you descendant from the one of the most evil Rashas, Nimrod. So shehimrid kolam kula alav. That the b'malchuso, that the entire world, this entire malchus rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kama shnoso shaladim. He says to this pasuk says to Nebuchadnezzar, how long is a person's life? It's shivim shana, as we know in the pasuk shenemar yimei shnosenu vehem shivim shana vim begvuro shmonim shana, 70 years. If the guy's really really special, he could live to 80 years. V'alo min ha'aret ad lirakia mahalech chamesh meos shana, takes to ascend from the Aretz to Shemaim, that's 500 years. The Ova of Shorakia, and the distance of the Rakia itself is Mahalech Chamesh Me'el Shana. It's another 500 years to pass through the Rakia. The Chain Ben Kol Rakia, each of the levels of Rakia that we learned yesterday, Ulamalman, and above them, Chayos HaKodesh, there's different Malachim that are there. Ragli Chayos Keneged Kulam, and the legs of the Chayos of these images, these malachim are the length of the entire world. And Karsule Chayos Keneged Kulam. The Karsule referring to the bottom, almost the hooves of the malachim, and Shoke and the thighs of the Chayos Keneged Kulam is as long as everything else. And Ruchuve Hachayos, and the upper part of the leg bone is Keneged Kulam, is as long as what we just mentioned. And the Yarche Hachayos, and the upper part of the thighs is Keneged Kulam. And Guf Echayos, the bodies themselves are Keneged Kulam, and Tzavari Echayos, the necks are Keneged Kulam, Rashi Echayos, Keneged Kulam, and the heads of the Malachim are even the size of all that. And Karni Echayos, the horns are Keneged Kulam. And the Malamehen, Kisei HaKavod, and above that, all the long parts of the body of the Malachim, above that's the Kisei HaKavod. And the Ragli Kisei HaKavod, and the legs of the throne is Keneged Kulam, is just as long as everything else. And the Kisei HaKavod itself is Keneged Kulam. Umelach kel chai v'kaim ramanisa shochan elim. On top of that, we're talking about thousands upon thousands of years to travel to get to all these distances to finally get to where Kadosh Baruch Hu is. V'yata amarta ele ala b'masei av adama la'elyon. You're going to compare yourself to Kadosh Baruch Hu and go to that same distance? Impossible. So it says, ach el shol turada el yirkasei v'or. You're going to go down to the bottom, to the depths of Gehenna. That's where you're going to descend to. So Gemara then says, quotes from the Mishnah, Lo b'merkava b'yachid. We said, a person may not teach the Ma'aseh Merkava to a yachid. And the Mishnah said, only that person, unless he's a chacham, mevin midaita. So Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Chia, Ava mosin lo rashi prakim. Although you cannot teach a stam person the depths of Ma'aseh Merkava, but you can teach him the rashi prakim, the basic idea is you'll have to teach such a person. So Amar Rabbi Zera, ain mosin rashi prakim ela la'av bezdin, or the chayin lechol mishalibo doig bekirbo. There are two people who you're allowed to teach a rashi prakim to. Either a person who's av bezdin, which means he reached a certain level, a certain status, a certain chachma, or a person who's just constantly worried. He's a person who's fearful of Kadosh Baruch Hu. These are two individuals who may be taught the rashi prakim of Ma'aseh Merkava. Ikadami, others say it a little bit differently. The who chalibo doi bekibo. No, it's not two types of individuals, two people. It's the same person. It must be an abezin who also has the criteria of he's doig libo doig bekibo. So then the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Ami, ein mosin sisrei Torah elo lemisha yesh bo chamisha dvarim. The only individuals who are allowed to pass on the secrets of the Torah, that person must have five midos. What are they? Sar chamishim unisofanim v'yoitz v'chacham charashim univon lachash. The Gemara is going to explain on tomorrow's daf what each of these characteristics are, but these are the five necessary midos in order for one to learn from a Rebbe Sisrei Torah. So the Amar Rebbe Ami ain mosin divrei Torah lovid kachafin. You're not allowed to teach the secrets of the Torah to stam any Torah to a goy. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, lo asa chein lecha goy. The Mishpatim Ba Yudom, not to Yudayim, don't let them know the Torah. You can't teach Torah to a non-Jew. So take a look at Tosus for an interesting discussion here. Tosus says, Ain Mosin Divrei Torah l'Ovid Kochavim, Hayakasha, L'Rav Rabbeinu Elchanan, Tepuk Lei d'Ovid Kochavim Ahosek b'Torah Chai Misa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us if a guy learned his Chai Misa, the Gemara in Sanhedrin daf ein nun tes, Ovid Kochavim Ahosek b'Torah Chai Misa, which means if someone were to teach a goy Torah hamelamdo over alifnei iver lo sitein mechsha, by teaching him, you're in essence putting a stumbling block in front of him and causing him to kill himself. So how come the Gemara says here it's bal yudaum, that's the source, but elsewhere it seems to be it's alifnei iver, you're causing him to die. So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me v'chi tema b'sheva mitzvahs didu, then Chai Misa is referring to the sheva mitzvahs on his own that he's allowed to learn. Kedamar b'ashas hasam ha mitzvah ikal emosim lahem. You have to teach them their own mitzvahs. They have to know the halachas of how to keep their own mitzvahs. V'nafkli mahaykra asher yaso asam ha'adam v'chai behem. V'charin levi lo nemar. Fine, you could skip all that point. Either way, the Tosa answers v'yesh lomar a few lines down. The hacha mairi afil hecha de'ika ori kochavim acher shirot l'alamda. No. You're right. In general, this is issur lifnei iver for me to teach the goy. But let's say the goy could go online and learn on his own. There are many shirim that are available online. So by me teaching him, that's not lifnei iver. Lifnei iver is only if it wasn't available to him otherwise. If a nazir, if he doesn't have wine, but I give him the only wine available to him, that's lifnei iver. But if there's a bottle of wine next to the nazir and I give him a bottle of wine, that's not lifnei iver. He would have gotten a bottle of wine without me. So he could go online and learn the halachas. He doesn't need me. So I would not violate lifnei iver. So says Tosos, even though there's another goy who would teach him the lekka lifnei iver in this case, nonetheless, if you go to the last two lines of Tosos, mikol makom, aser mishim magid dvarav liakov, you still cannot teach the goy, even though there's no lifnei iver, because the separate pasuk, the separate source here in the Gemara in Chagiga. The other said there's a larger discussion that when it comes to his Sheva Mitzvahs, you can teach him his halachas, but this is an interesting conversation. So now the Gemara says back inside, Amar lei Rabbi Yochanan, the Reb Elazar. Ta agmarach b'maisim merkava. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Elazar, "Come, I'm going to teach you maisim merkava." Rabbi Yochanan was going to pass these secrets on to his Rebbe, to his Talmud rather, Rebbe Elazar. Amarlei, Rabbi Elazar says, "Lo kasha, I'm not old enough. I can't learn yet." The Shech oftentimes says this when he quotes the Zohar. He says, "I didn't look up at the Zohar. I'm not 40 years old yet." So obviously, he is 40 years old, well over 40 years old, but that's what he always says. So Rabbi Elazar said, "I'm not old enough yet. I can't learn it yet." So Kikash, when he got older, Nach Nafshi to Yochanan. Yochanan already had passed away. It was too late for him to learn from his Rebbe of Yochanan. Amar Le Reb Asi. Reb Asi said to Reb Elazar, Tav Agmarch, let me teach you. I'll teach you. You don't need Reb Yochanan. I'll teach you the halachas. I'll teach you the secrets of Ma'ase Merkava. The Ma'ase Merkava, Amar Le, Reb Elazar says, Izak, I had been Zocha when I was younger. Gemusim, Reb Yochanan, Reb Ach, I would have learned from your Rebbe, my Rebbe, our Rebbe, Reb Yochanan. I missed out on the opportunity. I could have learned from him. I didn't. I'm not learning from you. So I'm going to live life without learning Ma'ase Merkava. And the Mefarshim explained that he was trying to avoid learning. He did not want to learn Ma'ase Merkava. So he had an excuse. Each person who wanted to teach it to him, he had a different excuse. He wanted to stay far, far away from learning the Ma'ase Merkava. He thought it was too dangerous for him. So Gemara then says, Rav Yosef, have a gummer Ma'ase Merkava. Rav Yochanan learned, he knew the depths of Ma'ase Merkava. Saba de Pumbedisa, the elders of Pumbedisa, have a ton of Ma'ase Bereishis. They had learned very well. They learned it a couple times, the sugya of Ma'ase Bereishis. So I'm relating one time, the Saba de Pumbedisa, the elders of Pumbedisa, said to Rav Yosef, Ligmar lan mar, Ma'ase Merkava, why don't you teach us Ma'ase Merkava? Could you please teach it to us? We've already learned and chazed through Ma'ase Bereishis. I think we're ready for the next step. Teach us Ma'ase Merkava. So Amar Lehu, Rav Yosef says to them, Agmurin li Ma'ase Bereishis. First teach me Ma'ase Bereishis, and then I'll teach you Ma'ase Merkava. So Basa Da'agmurin, after they taught Rav Yosef Ma'ase Bereishis, Amrulei, they said, now it's your turn, Ligmar and Mar. Now you teach us Ma'ase Merkava. Amrulei, Rav Yosef says to them, Tanina Behu. So we learn the pasuk in Shiashirim, Dvash v'chalav tachas l'shonech. The honey and milk should be underneath your tongue. What that means is Dvarm hamasukim midvash v'chalav. That which is sweeter than both honey and milk, you tachas l'shonecha, should be underneath your tongue, which means dafka your tongue, and don't share it with others. Meaning, I'm sorry, I can't teach you ma'ase merkava. Ma'ase merkava is masukim midvash, and l'shonecha I have to teach, keep it to myself. That was his understanding. So then it says, Rabbi Yebohu Amar, from a different pasuk, that you can't reveal the secrets of Ma'ase Merkava. Mehachet says, Kivasim Levushecha, you should have the sheep in its cloth, in its clothing, and so Dvarm Shein Kivshono, Shalom, that which is in the hidden world, the secrets of the world, you Tachas Levushecha, should be underneath your cloak, you should keep it hidden, you shouldn't share with others. So in others of Yosef, did not pass it on to the Ziknei Pumbedisa. How he broke that agreement they had, I'm not exactly sure, but that's what comes out from the Gemara. So then the Gemara says, Amrulei, Tanina Behu, Ad Vayomer, Eli ben Adam. So Ziknei Pumbedisa says, you can at least teach us to a certain point. There's a pasuk in Parak Beis Yecheskel where you are allowed to learn. The Ma'aseh Merkava is not until a pasuk later on where the pasuk says, Vayomer Eli ben Adam. At that point, you could teach us to that pasuk and not beyond that. Amrlei, he says, I can't. Hein Ma'aseh Merkava. What you're asking me to teach you, that is the essence of Ma'aseh Merkava. I can't teach you up until that point. So Gemara quotes in Machlokas, what exactly, at what point does Ma'aseh Merkava begin in Sefer Yecheskel? So Meisivei asks the Gemara, Ad Heichan, Ma'aseh Merkava, until what point is it Ma'aseh Merkava? Where is it also to learn? Rabbi Omer, Ad Va'era Basr, the second pasuk that says Va'era, it says Va'era a couple times, so the second pasuk, this is at the end of Perek Beis of Yecheskel, that's what Rabbi says. And Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Add the words chashmal, these talk about chashmal, where it talks about some type of spiritual electricity, that's the point where you're not allowed to. So, but it doesn't say ad ve'era, that's the ad ve'era, the first ad ve'era, that's not part of the calculation. Because when it says the words vayom elai b'nei adam, that's the first ve'era, that's allowed according to this braisa. So Gemara says no. Ad ve'era migmarinan. You're allowed to learn up until the first ve'era. But mikan ve'elach masin and Rashi Prakim. But after that first ve'era, that you're no longer allowed to teach. Only Rashi Prakim are allowed to be taught from that point on. Ikadami, others say, ad ve'era masin and Rashi Prakim. No, until the word vad era, then you're allowed to only teach Rashi Prakim. Mikan ve'elach, but beyond that point, even Rashi Prakim aren't allowed. Only those who are imhu chacham mevi midaita, if he's a wise person who can understand on his own, so then in he's allowed to continue to learn vayta in Yecheskel. Ilov, he's not able to, he's not capable of learning beyond that, then lo, he should not go into the world of ma'aseh merkava. So Gemara then says, midashina na bechashmal. The Gemara above applied, according to one opinion, you can learn the concept of a chashmal in the Pesukim. It says, ve'era kein chashmal, you can learn, but not beyond that Pesuk. Are you really allowed to learn that world of chashmal? Ha'hu yanuka didarish bechashmal. There's a young boy who is learning the Pesukim of chashmal, this spiritual electricity of Yecheskel. V'nafka nura v'achalte. And a fire came out and ate him up and killed him. So clearly you're not allowed to learn the words of chashmal, that concept. So shiny yanuka de lo matizim. No, that's a young boy. He's not mature enough. But you have a man who is mature, he's experienced, he's learned. That is an individual who's allowed to learn this concept of chashmal. So Amar Yehuda Biram, Zachar Osa Ish Latova, there's a person who should be remembered for good. The Hananya ben Chizkiah Shemal, that's his name. Ilmali, who had not been for him, and Nignaz Sefer Yecheskel, we would have hidden Sefer Yecheskel. Because there are some psukim in Yecheskel which contradict which appears in the Torah, and he was able to somehow reconcile those contradictions. Ma'asa, what did he do? Helu lo shalosh meos garbe shemen. He took with him 300 jugs of oil. He went to some attic where they spent a lot of time learning by themselves. The Yoshev ba'aliyo drasho, and he learned and darshened and reconciled all the stereos between Yecheskel and Sefer Torah, in which case it was allowed to be available, accessible to the Hamon Am. So Tanya Rabban, the Braisa, says further now, there's once a young boy who's learning Sefer Yecheskel. He started to understand the concept of chashmal. And a fire came from this electricity and burnt him. They said, this is a dangerous sefer. Let's hide it. Let's put it in Geniza so nobody should get killed from this again. If this boy was a chacham, meaning this young boy was able to learn. He was very advanced, and he advanced too much for his age. So not everybody else at that level. Another 8-year-old boy who reads Yecheskel is just reading Stam Psukim, doesn't understand what's going on. This was a unique boy. He was an Eloi. He was able to understand such steps at a young age. That's why it was very challenging for him, and that's why he got into trouble. But most boys are not going to get into trouble, and there is no reason to hide Sefer Yecheskel. So what exactly am I chashmal? After the Gemara telling us we shouldn't learn chashmal, we're asked, what is chashmal? What exactly is a spiritual electricity? So Amar Rehuda, Rehuda says, going with Amar Beis now, v'masnisa tana, the Braisa to teach us, it's as follows. It's machlokas here. Actually, no, it's one opinion, machlokas. Itim chashos, there's sometimes where this spiritual light is quiet and silent. Itim mimala, sometimes it speaks. B'shasha, dibur yotzim, p'ya kadosh baruch hu, when a kadosh baruch hu speaks, a speech comes out from him. Chashos, I skipped a line, what?
A couple of words.
I'm sorry. Chayos Eish Mimalos. I skipped the line. Amar Yehuda, Chayos Eish Mimalos is referring to the fire that comes out when the Chayos, when the Malachim speak, there's this fire that comes out that's spewed from the Malachim. That's this fire. So Masnisa Tan the Brisa says, the Chashmal is a combination of the word Chash and Mal. Itim Chasho, sometimes it's silent, and sometimes Itim Mimal, sometimes it has words, it speaks. B'shasha Dibur Yotim Pia Kadosh Baruch Hu, when Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks, Chashos, so the Malachim are quiet. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is silent, he doesn't speak, then this fire, this chashmal comes out. So chashmal, it's quiet and speaks, depending on whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the inverse or whatever the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing at that very moment. So then the Gemara says further now, HaChayos Ratzo V'Shov Kimara HaBozak, that the Chayos, these Malachim, go back and forth. Chazo Ratzo V'Shov means return, run and return, run and return. Kimara HaBozak, just like the fire of what, how they explain this here, the fire of Bazak, whatever Bazak means. So Amar Yehuda, Ka'or HaYotze Mipia Kivshon, like the fire that comes from an oven or furnace, it kind of shoots out and comes back down. Let's say you're grilling something, and a fire shoots up and it comes back down. That's what this fire is being described as, Chayos Ratzo V'Shov, Kimara HaBozak. So the Gemara then says, "My Kimar HaBazak." What exactly does that mean? Amar Rav Yosef Yosi Bar Chanina ki or hayotz mi bein hacharosim, that when you put some fire in the earthenware, you put it into an oven, and fire comes out. It comes out from the holes of the earthenware. That's the sharp fire, different colors of fire that come out. That's what Bazak means. The Gemara then says further now, Eira, Ba'era, Hine Ruch, Sarah Ba Minatafon, and I saw, says Yechezkel, I saw this wild storm that came from the north, which is Babel, and Anan Gadol Ve'esh Mislakachas, and there's a big cloud, a fiery cloud, V'Nogelo Saviv, and there's a fire or light around this, Umitocha, from within the cloud, Kein Chashma Mitocha Esh, there was some type of electricity, fire spewing out from inside the fire. So some big storm, the fire inside, light on the outside, that's what Yechezkel had envisioned. Lehechan Azel, exactly where was this storm going to? It was coming from Babel, but where was it heading to? Amar Yehuda Amarav, Shahalach Lechvosh es Kol Ha'olam Kulo Tachas Nebuchadnezzar Harasha. It was coming to help Nebuchadnezzar conquer the entire world. That's what the storm represented. It wasn't an actual storm, it seems, it was some spiritual storm. The Chokach Lama, what was the reason for this? That it was giving Nebuchadnezzar full control of the world. So Shalom Yomer Umas Olam, so the nations of the world shouldn't say, Biyad Uma Shvala Masa Kadosh Baruch Hu Banim, that we know that Kaiso is going to be handed over to Nebuchadnezzar. So the question is, what type of nation, what type of leadership was he? Was it a very weak leadership or a strong leadership? So it looked very bad if Kaiso was handed over to a very weak leadership. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Nebuchadnezzar a strong leadership. This way you realize that they're only handed over to a very hush of leadership. So that's why he did Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Garmli She'aya Shamish Lov the Psilim. So who was the one who caused that, I missed a line here. Biyadu Mashvala, Masa Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'ez Banav. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Garmli She'aya Shamish Lov the Psilim. Who was the one who made him to have control over the Avodah Zarah, that Klai was handed over to he who serves Avodah Zarah and made him Nebuchadnezzar? Avonoseim She'yisrael Hein Garmulei. The sins of Klai Yisrael, all their averus, is what caused them to go into Galus and eventually be under the servitude of Nebuchadnezzar. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Nebuchadnezzar to be a strong king, so he had to send this storm somehow to help give him power over the entire world. Pasuk says further in Yechezkel, the era hachayos, and Yechezkel said, he testified, I saw these angels, v'inei ofan echa, there is one malach be'eretz etzah hachayos, that was standing next to the chayos. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, Malach Echad Shu Omed Ba'aretz. There is one angel standing on the ground. Roshim Agir Eitz Achayos, and its head was standing up with other Malachim up in Shemayim. So B'Masni Satana, the Sandalafon Shema. The name of this Malach's name was Sandalafon. And Hagavah Mechaver was taller than his friends. Malach Chamesh Me'el Shon was 500 years taller. Obviously, we don't talk in measurements of height, but that's how they traveled. So 500 years taller than his friends. Vomid Achori HaMerkava, and this angel, Sandalafon, stood behind the Merkava, Vokosha Ksarm Lekono, and was busy tying crowns to the master, which would consist of the tefillahs of tzaddikim. I thought these are very deep contents. I don't know what to do with this, but I'm just translating them. So Gemara said, is that really true that this malach stood behind the Maaseh Merkava? Is that really true? And he's tying these crowns? V'akshi, the pasuk says in Yechezkel Paragimel, says, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. Blessed be Hashem wherever he is. Michlal Dimkomo Leked Yadalei, implying that nobody knows where the makom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So here it says that the Dalafon's makom, he was tying for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is behind the Merkava, which implies that Hashem's place is behind the Merkava. But then the pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Kvod Hashem Mimkomo, wherever his makom is, I don't know where it is. He should be blessed. I mean, I don't know where the Makom Hashem is. So do we know or do we not know? And the Gemara says, Damar Sham Ataga Azav Yasa Beresha. So somehow when one says the Shem Hashem, Shem HaMafarash, so then that crown goes and sits where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. In other words, we don't know where he is, but when the Malach would say Shem HaMafarash, those crowns would somehow find the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it would go there. Meaning the Malach wouldn't know where he is. We don't know where he is, but the Shem Hashem sends it to the right place. Okay, again, I don't know what to make of this, but we're just learning the Gemara's here. So Gemara then says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Kol Shira Yechezkel, anything that Yechezkel himself saw, Ra Yishai. Yishai also saw. So the question becomes, how can we only find these very deep sukkim in Yechezkel? Why doesn't Yishai describe these deep visions, these deep nevuas? And the Gemara tells us as follows, because Lama Yechezkel Doma, what Yechezkel similar to? The Ben Kfar Shira Samalach. That he was a Ben Kfar. I mean, he didn't see the palace. He's one Washington D.C. one time in his life. It was so incredible. But Yeshaya, he was Lama Yeshaya Yedoma. Doma, he was somewhere at Levent Krach, Shiraz Melch. He lived in the palace. He saw the White House every single day. It wasn't anything special to him. So even though Yeshaya saw all the same Nevuahs that Yechezkel saw, he didn't describe it because it wasn't anything special. That's how he grew up. But Yechezkel, he one occasion, he saw this incredible palace of Shemayim. This is something really wild. He started to write all these psukim about the depths of what took place in Shemayim. And that's the difference between Yechezkel and Yeshaya. Not to say Yechezkel is greater than Yeshaya, it's simply Yechezkel, this was new to Yeshaya, and new to Yechezkel rather, and that's why he recorded that which he saw. So Gemara then says, Amar Yishlak, Yishlak, it says, what does it say in the Pasuk? Az Yashir, it says, Ashir Lashem ki ga'a ga'a, that I'm going to sing to Hashem because of this gaiva, this greatness, this haughtiness. So Shira L'mishim is ga'al ha'gayim. We sing a song to he who is greater than everyone else who is great, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Damar Mar, it says, Melech Shebechayos, who is the king of the animals, of the wild animals? Ari, a lion, is the king of the jungle. Melech Shebehemos, who is the king of the behemos, not the chayos, not the wild animals, but more the domesticated animals? The shore, the ox is considered the king amongst the behemos. And Shebaofos, who's the Melech Shebaofos, who's the king amongst the birds? Anesher, the eagle. The Adam Misga'alen, and a current man is king above all them, but Kadosh Baruch Hu Misga'akum, Kadosh Baruch Hu is greater than all of us. I'll call him cool over the entire world. So the interesting Bas Ayin. The Bas Ayin asks the question in Parshas Lech. He says that we know the Gemara in Brachos tells us that Avraham Avinu was the first one to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Adon, as master. So he asks a question based on this Gemara. He says, wait a second. How could you call HaKadosh Baruch Hu an Adon over a man? Just like you could only have a lion who's the king of animals of his type and a shore who's the king of his behemoth, you can't refer to a man as a melech over an animal. I might own a dog or a cat or a fish. I'm not called the king of a fish. I'm not called the king of a lion. We don't talk the same language. You can't call a king unless it's the same species. So an Ari is a king of the chayos and a shore is a king of the behemoth. How do you call a Kadosh Baruch Hu an Adon over us? We're in a different species. Elamai says the Bas Ayin, since Avraham Avinu reached such a level of Tel Melukim, of as close as one could get to of the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it is shaykh to refer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu as an Adon over the Bnei Yisrael because we are not that different. There are, of course, many differences, but we're as close as one could possibly humanly get to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it is shaykh to call a Kadosh Baruch Hu the Melech over us. So the Gemara then says further, Kasav Echad Omer, one pasuk tells us, Udemus Pneim, the face of the Malachim, was a Pnei Adam. They look like human beings. Upnei Aryeh El Hayamim, and there was an image of a lion to the right. Ulebaasan to the Arbasan, I think, means to for all four of them. There are four lion king faces. There are four legs, but I think there's only one of them. I think one of the four. I think one of the four was lions. Was a lion. Upnei Shur Mesmol Arbasan. There was one of the faces was a shur. And Uksiv Arba Panim Lechad, it says elsewhere. So we have four faces: Adam, we have Aryeh, we have Ashur, and then it says, and then Nesher is the fourth one. The pasuk doesn't say in the Gemara, but the fourth one's a Nesher. And Uksiv elsewhere, Arba Panim Leechad, Pnei Echad, Pnei Kruv, Pnei Sheni, Pnei Adam, Vashlishi, Pnei Aryeh, Varvi, Pnei Nesher. So there's a different order here of what was on the face here. It's actually a fascinating before. I'll get to the answer first. So Gemara says, what's the order? So we have different orders. Is there a line, Adam and Shur, or no Shur? So Gemara says, Ve'ilu Shur lo kachashiv. Doesn't mention the Shur in this last set here. So the Gemara says, Amar Rishlakesh, Yechezkel, Bikesh alav Rachamim v'hafcho, the Kruv. That Yechezkel daven, that shouldn't be a Shur, rather the Shur should really turn into a Kruv. That's what happened. So it ended up being, there was a Nesher, there was an Aryeh, there was a Kruv, and there was Adam. So Amar Lefadar, Ribon Sha'olam, Kategar Yasas Senegar. So therefore he granted the request, and the Shur, which remembers the Cheda Eagle last week's Parsha, he got rid of the Shur, and then he put in the Kruv instead. So my Kruv, what exactly is a Kruv? Amar Rabbi Abahu, Kravya Shekane Bavava currently Yunuka Ravya. It refers to a young, a baby's face. That's what they call them, Bavala, a Ravya. So a Kravya Kruv is a baby's face. So there's an Adam, an adult, and there's a baby's face. So Amar Le Rapapula Abaye El Matav, that's the case. Dichsiva Pneacha Pne Kruv Pne Sheni Pne Adam Hashishi Pne Aryeh Varvi Pne Nesher Hainu Pne Kruv Hainu Pne Adam. Wait a second. Two faces are the same. One's an Adam, one's a Kruv. You just told me a Kruv is a baby's face. What's the difference? And answers the Gemara Ape Ravrive Ape Zutre. One's a larger face, meaning an adult, and one's a baby face. So the fascinating Yira Kadosh talks about when Yaakov Avinu got to Makama Hamikdash Harbais, he went to sleep. He says, Achein Yeshma Hashem Makama Zeh. I didn't realize Hashem's in this place. V'anochli Adati, I was unaware of this. So he points out Achein in the word Anochi, that Achein stands for Aryeh, Kruv and Nesher. He was aware of the Achein. He knew that there are three legs, was the Aryeh, the Kruv and the Nesher. He didn't know the fourth face. Anochli Adati, what's the fourth face? It was Adam, who said its own face he saw. Anochi stands for Aryeh, Nesher, Kruv, and Yaakov. Yaakov himself, he was the Adam. His face was implanted in the Kisei Kavod. So when he was in a place of darkness, he was running away from his brother, away from all his family, he was all by himself, he realized, he thought he was a nothing, and he fell asleep and saw the Kisei Kavod. He realized that he's able to reach the heights of Kisei Kavod. That gave him incredible chizuk at that very moment. So Gemara then says further now, Kasev Echad Omer, Sheish Knafayim Lechad. It says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya that there are six wings for each of the Malachim. And Kasev Echad, elsewhere it says, Omer, the Pasuk in Cheskel, Arba Panim L'Achas, Arba Knafayim L'Achas Lem. There are four wings for each of the angels. Were there four or were there six? So before the Gemara gets to address the question here, so Gemara, there is a Medj that tells us, actually, initially, the Malachim only had four wings. And then it got six wings after Kriyas Yamtsev. Why so? Because the Medrash tells us that the Eir of Rav at the Kriyas Yamtsev, they saw the legs of the Malachim. That the rest of Am Yisrael saw the Shechina somehow. And Eir of Rav only saw the Malachim. And they saw the legs of Malachim, they looked like an eagle. Kape eagle, the feet of an eagle. So when they made the Cheda eagle, they made the Cheda eagle because they thought it was made of an eagle. They thought Shechina was an eagle. Because the Kli Yisrael saw Shechina. They saw just the feet of calves. They thought, oh, the Shekhinah must be calves. So they made a Chet Egel, they dafka made an Egel because that's what they saw Kriyas Yamtsev. So because of that occurrence, the Kadosh Baruch Hu made the two more wings grow, that they should cover the legs of the Malachim so nobody should see their legs because that's what caused the Chet Egel in particular. So that's one level. Now the Gemara says they used to have six legs, and then it turned into four legs. They lost two wings. That happened later on in history. What was the change from six wings to four wings? So lo kasher, there is no contradiction. Kan bizman she mikdash kayim, kan bizman she eno mikdash kayim. Kiviyachal nismatu kan feyachayas. Meaning during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, after Kriyas Yamtsev, really after Cheda Egel, through the Beis HaMikdash, they had six wings, and after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they had only four wings. Now, the Gemara writes something fascinating. He says, these four wings represent the six Sidrei Misha, Shishei Sidrei Misha, which were all relevant during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, all six Siddurim, but we lost two of them when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Which two did we lose? So he says, depends on the Bavli versus the Yerushalmi. The Bavli, we lost Zeram. Chutz La'aretz is no Zeram. It's not Shaykh. Most halachas aren't Shaykh to us. And we lost Taharos as well. There's no Taharos in Chutz La'aretz. As opposed to Eretz Yisrael, that and the Yerushalmi, they actually have Zeram because Zeram is Shaykh, but they don't have Taharos, but they don't have Kadshim. That makes sense. But we have Kadshim. What's the difference? How come we have Kadshim? They don't have Kadshim. That's the one difference here. So we don't have Zeram that makes sense. We don't have Taharos that makes sense. We should also not have Kadshim in Chutz La'aretz. So there's a Bavli, the end of Maseches Menachos, that tells us, it also appears in Gemara Tainis, that Kola Omer Tamid, kilu hikriv tamid. Kol omer chadis, kilu hikriv chadis. There's a chiddush that only exists in the Bavel, in the Bavli. That if you learn kachim, it's kilu you're being makriv kabanos. So although it's not actually relevant, but the Limud Torah makes it relevant in the Chutz La'aretz. In Yerushalmi, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have such a concept. It's either you bring kabanos, or you don't bring kabanos. They don't view learning kabanos, kilu you're bringing kabanos, therefore kachim is irrelevant in Eretz Yisrael as well. So these are the six wings that turn to four wings, which refer to the four Sidrei Mishnah that are left and relevant to each respectively, Yerushalmi versus the Bavli. So Gemara now says, Heimanayu Imait, which two wings were removed from the Malachim? Amrev Chanano, Amrav, Osan Sheomos Shirbehen. Those are wings which apparently sing the songs. Ksiv Hachet says here, Ubishtaim Yeofef, the two that used to fly, and Krazel Zev Yamar, they call out to each other, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Uksiv Hasaif Einecha Boveinenu, and then those wings, they're no longer there. So somehow there's certain wings that were used to call to Hashem, those were the ones diminished. When there's a Churim Beis HaMikdash, there's no reason to sing anymore. Rabban Amri, Rabban have a different opinion. Osana shemechazos bein raglen. They felt that the lower wings, the ones that were used not to fly with, but those that were used to cover the legs, those were the ones that removed. The shenemar ragleim ragel yishara. Their legs were straight. V'ilav di mart had not been the wings had been removed. How do we know that? Meaning, the only way Yechezkel was able to see that the legs of the malachim were straight is because the wings weren't there anymore. Those were the wings and the legs that must have been removed. So Gemara, this is Dilma. Maybe they exposed it. Maybe the wings moved up. He saw the legs and went back down. It doesn't mean that they were removed permanently. We don't say this. How was Yechezkel able to see the face of Malachim and describe them as an Adam, as a Neshin, and so on? So that we're going to say that the wings covering the faces were also removed. That nobody thinks were removed. Ella must be there was a moment where the wings exposed the face. As well, by the legs. That the wings exposed the legs for a moment where Yechezkel saw what the legs were like, but doesn't mean that those were the wings that were removed. Now that we've established this, Bishma makes sense. The api orech ara leguli kame rabia. That makes sense that sometimes a person exposes their face to speak to the rabbi, to speak to Kadosh Baruch. Okay. But lav orech ara leguli kame rabia. But to remove your feet, that doesn't make so much sense. So this, as far as this applies, so I can understand why the wings could open and close by the face, but it wouldn't open and close by the legs. Elamai, therefore the legs, the wings of the legs were the ones that were removed, and they rejected that svar. So now the Gemara says further, towards the bottom, almost the end of this very fascinating daf, the Gemara says as follows. It says, Pasuk Echad, one pasuk tells us, Elef Alfin Yishamshune, there were thousands upon thousands of people or individuals or malachim serving me, Hashem says, V'ribo Rivavan Kedamai V'kumen, and there are tens of thousands that were standing before him. So Kasav Echad, another pasuk says, Hayesh Mispar the Gedudav, can you count the amount of malachim that are there? So one pasuk says there are lots, but we can count them, the thousands and tens of thousands. The other pasuk says you can't even count how many malachim are serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So lo kashu, there is no contradiction. Kan bizman shein beis hamikdash kaim. That's when you can't even speak of how many there were. And kan bizman shein beis hamikdash kaim, where it was limited, it was finite of thousands and tens of thousands, but it was still finite of how many malachim were serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kiviyachol shein ismata pamal yishamala. Somehow, with the destruction of beis hamikdash, that diminished the heavenly court that served the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Tani the Baisa says further now, Rebbe Omer Mishim Abba Yosi ben Dusai. Elf Alfim Yisham Shune, there are thousands of angels serving Hashem. Misbar Gedud Echad, that's in one Gedud, in one legion. Lugdudav Ein Misbar, but the legions have no amounts. That's a different answer, meaning every legion was 1,000 malachim. How many legions were there? That's endless. That's infinite. That's a different description. There's no stira, just describing different parts of these soldiers, these angels. Rebbe Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar, Elef Alfin Yisham Shune, there were thousands serving Hashem, Lenar Dinur, that were on this particular river of fire, Shenamar Nahar Dinur Nageid, V'nafig Min Kadmai, Elef Alfin Yisham Shune. On this particular river of Eish, whatever that means, there were thousands of Malachim, V'ribo Rivavin Kadmai Yekumen, and there were tens of thousands of Malachim standing there at this Nahar Dinur. In general, there was infinite amount of Malachim, but this particular Nahar, that's where it was limited to thousands of Malachim. So Meicha Nafik, so from where does this Nahar Dir come from? Where's this Dinor, this fire, a fiery river, where does it come from? Mizeyasan Shel Chayos, from the perspiration of the Chayos, this sweat would turn into rivers of fire. Ulheichan Shafan, where would it spill out to? Amrav Zutcha Bartuvia Amarav Al Rosh Risharm Begehenim. It would fall upon the heads of the Risharm standing in Gehenim. Shenamar, it says, Hinei saras Hashem chema, the storm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fire, and chema yatsa, fire would come forth, or anger would come forth, the sar mischolel, and there would be this storm that would surround them, arosh risham yachol, it would fall upon the heads of the risham. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, al asher kumtu, Shenamar, those who were ordained, what does that mean? Asher kumtu v'lo eis, those who were ordained before the time, those who were taken before the time, nar yutak yisodam, there's a foundation that was swept away by a river, referring to these people who died early, apparently. So then the Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rebbe Shum ben Chassid, Eilut Shamios Vishim V'arba Doros, is referring to the 974 generations, Shekumtu Libaros, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create initially, called them Shenivra Olam Velo Nivra, that he wanted to create, but he didn't actually create, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ushalam V'chol Dor V'dor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took these generations and placed them in each generation, V'hein Hein, as a panim shebador, they're referring to these people who are very chutzpahdik in each generation. There are these people HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to originally create. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but let's just stop here because it goes well into the next stuff. I'm not going to even review today, but we'll continue this in Mirat Hashem tomorrow. Okay.